Blog Talk Radio.
Better get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is soon to come.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart in order.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is
soon
to come.
What you gonna do?
Girl, what you gonna do?
Bringing unto you tonight the divine word of truth. Hope and pray that all was well in your family circle. And I hope and pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. And I just thank those of you that so kindly tune in on tonight. I know this is rather late, but just in the same token, I just thank God for allowing me this opportunity to come across these airways on this morning. And so I just thank you once again, just being such a loyal and faithful listener of the old time, old ship of Zion. And I just want you to get you a good seat, get your cushion to position your posture, and get your whatever beverages that you would like to sip on, and bring all your digital devices and follow along with me as I bring unto you the divine word of God. And I just thank you for allowing me into your workspace, into your living room area, and then being able to ride on down the dangerous skyway and highway on the old ship of Zion on your radio dial or your podcast dial. And I just thank those of you once again for your loyal and faithfulness. And in doing so, God has a blessing with your name on it. I'm not just saying that, but that is the word of God. Hallelujah. And so we're going to go right now into our intro prayer. We're going to skip the condolences on tonight, and we're going to go on into our intro prayer. So I'm asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer at this time. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather in unity once again, God, around the spectrum. For we know that this earthly song that we're now treading upon, God, is not our eternal destination. We know that you have lying in wait, God, a mansion that's not built by mortal man, God, but you are his creator. You are his architect, God. And until you crack those clouds one of these historical days, we will continually come, God, from the four corners of this earth, God, from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you on this morning, God, to anoint these lips of clay, God, to be able to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardon of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, God, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are heavy laden, those that have empty hearts, and those that just feel like they are alone and by themselves, God. No one to talk to, no one to lean on, God. No one to give them an encouraging word. I'm asking you, God, to anoint these lips of clay, God. I'd be so mindful to give your name the glory, honor, and all the praises. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we'll let the church say, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And we're going to go right now on into a program that's already in progression. And our night sermon entitled, A Crooked Generation. I want to say that one more time. A Crooked Generation. And we'll be reading our first key scripture coming out of the law, Philippians 2 and 14, and it reads this. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. That scripture reading again is coming out of the law, Philippians 2 and 14 through 15. We will now move on down to our second key scripture on tonight, slash this morning. And that is, my servant David followed me with all of his heart. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, 1 Kings, hallelujah, 14 and 8. And we thank God for the reading and the readers of his word. And we're now going to go on in to our scripture reading text. And we're talking about a crooked and perverse generation. The world that we now live in, that we call planet Earth. And we know that temptation, it is an inescapable reality that has haunted every generation since Adam. However, we need not yield to temptation or to be captured by sin. We can have the victory, you and I. You might ask, Overseer Ward, but how? What method should one use? As we look at the First Corinthians, we find some meaningful answers. Hallelujah. We can learn from others' mistakes. God's power is always available to you and I. We must abstain from evil. Certainly these are three great lessons that can enable you and I to be victorious. And we can also learn from the mistakes made by others, hallelujah, like warning signs. They show you and I the danger in going the wrong way. Here Paul illustrated how the Hebrews were tempted, how they yielded, and how they were punished for doing so. But you and I have victory by learning to not repeat the same mistakes. We know that because of God's divine power, we are able to win over evil, but to fully benefit from this great power and holy presence, you and I must be loyal to him, and I'm talking about loyal to God. We know that the Hebrew provoked God during their desert experience by doubting his power to provide adequately for them. And they yielded to temptation of suspicious discontent and grumbling. But Paul warned the Corinthians not to succumb to similar temptations. Like Corinth, we find out that our society is infested with immortality. We know that the human suffering seemingly is out of control due to the evils that are practiced through absence. We can avoid much of the suffering that has plagued this generation. And we can just say no and refrain from those things that causes destruction and to good health and to family ties. Hallelujah. And in our community, we can bring about peace and spiritual empowerment. Just say no when surrounded by grumbling and despair. Hallelujah. We can trust God and victory will come. We know that the Christian life must continually be a beacon of light in a dark world of sin. So let us be challenged to brighten the corner where we live. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah, God. And recently I was reading a story about the king of the Old Testament, and I noticed on the chart that we were using that a few of the leaders of the kingdom of Israel and Judah are labeled as good. But on the other part, most of them were labeled bad. And mostly bad and extra bad. And that extends to be the worst. We find out that King David is described as a good king who followed God with all of his heart. And we can read back into the law of 1 Kings 14 and 8. And it is an example to follow. We know that the bad kings are noted for their willful rejection of God and for leading their subject into adultery. We know that King Jehoshaphat, the first king to rule Israel after the kingdom was divided, had the legacy of being remembered as one of the worst kings who sinned and who made Israel sin. That scripture reading is coming out of law, verse 14 and 16. Because of his bad example, many kings who came after him are compared to him and are described as being as evil as he was. Now you can read that in 16 and 2, then 19 and 26 on through 31, and then 22 down to 52. So it'd be 22 and 52. And we know that each of us has a unique sphere of influence, and that influence can use for evil or for good. We know that unfettered faithfulness to God is a light that will shine brightly and leave a legacy of good. And it's yours and mine and our privilege to bring glory to the Lord. Many others see his light shining through us and be drawn to his goodness. Oh, make me, Lord, so much like thee. Thou am a shining light, maybe from which thy grace may ever shine. And we know that the smallest light still shine in the darkest night. We know that we're living in a world that's uncertain. You might be frightened of everything that you're hearing across the airways and across your television set, across the airways. But you can continually to be in a good cheer because God has not left his throne. God is yet sitting at the right-hand side of his Father. And he's looking down on this planet, on this earth where you and I reside. And he has not turned a deaf ear. Neither have he turned his eyes away from you and I. And you can trust his word. When you can't trace God, you just have to trust him. Sometimes we can be in a situation to where it looks like God is nowhere to be found. Look like we can call upon him and we can't feel his presence. You might be almost finna hit a semi-tractor. Somebody's on your rear end and about to rear end your car. And you can just say, Jesus. That's all you have to say. And God is right there. Stretched out his mighty, powerful hand. And made old death behave. Because we know that the enemy comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He is destroying God's people one by one. But I tell you, he's doing no more than he is allowed. So you be encouraged, be of it of good cheer. Because the enemy is doing no more than God allows. God is in control. Don't never forget that God is commander-in-chief of our lives. Over the heavens, under the heavens, over the earth, and beneath the earth. God is in control. Hallelujah. And so we're going to read in the law of Philippians 2 and 14 through 15. Now we know through all of this chaos that we're having in our world, we have a whole lot of complaining. And this scripture tells you just what God expects of you and I. He says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless. Blameless. B-L-A-M-E-L-E-S-S. Blameless. And harmless. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So God instruct you and I to do not complain, but just keep on keeping on in your assignment. God's got your back, he's got your front, he's got your side and center. God's got you covered. So don't you be afraid. Fret not your heart, evildoers, because God is still sitting on his throne. And I'm going to have him wrap this up and bring you some hymns of Zion. And you could call today's generation crooked and perverse, and that's what we're calling it, a crooked and perverse generation. And it's crooked and it's perverse. Just as Paul described his own generation in Philippians 2 and 15. Even Moses would have understood what Paul was talking about. For he said of Israel, they have corrupted themselves, they are not his children because of their blemish, a perverse and crooked generation. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Deuteronomy 32 and 5. We know that crookedness refers to the means by which people accomplish their objective, doing whatever it takes to get what they want. They can take shortcuts to success and applaud it. Some even boast about how they circumvent the law. We know that perversion refers to the way people distort the truth. For example, I heard about three teenagers who wanted to end their stay in a hotel long before their expected departure. They angrily insisted that the manager return their non-refundable deposit. And when they finally got what they wanted, then they was on their way out. They continued to explain to the hotel and other guests that were there that they had been forced to leave. And that was not the truth. They made that up. And we know that we may sometimes get hurt by this crooked behavior and distorted thinking of people. But you and I, we are called to be blameless and harmless. And we are to shine as lights in this world. Philippians 2 and 15. Let us show the world a different way of living. We are called with a holy calling, the light of the world to be. To lift up the lamp of the Savior that others his light may see. We know the straight and the narrow way is God's way for a crooked generation. In ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to inject your spirit and to impact your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you'd want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf. You're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station has been brought to you by Block Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondence, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Till we meet again across these skyways and highways, you are most certainly encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. We're going to now change the dynamics of this program. We're going to now bring you Hymns of Zion to encourage your heart and uplift your spirit. So I want you to be encouraged, saints and friends, constituents, family, kinship family. I want you to be encouraged. Be encouraged. God love you, and so do I. And I serve on tonight a crooked generation. God bless you till we meet again. Bye for now.
Amazing how you do. should have waited up. I used to want to ball and with pretty ladies I lay up. Shooting for the stars, but I was missing my layup. My partners tell me stay up, but all I do is stay up. Late at night, I'm up thinking how I can get my pay up. And when it came to God, I thought I had to work my way up. Learned about his grace, and now I can never repay him. Rescue me from darkness, took me from my heartless, lawless. Boy, you just don't know how good my God is. I met the Lord, and then he hit me to some life gang. Stimulating, activating to the right thing.
like a pulse every day, cause I know you.
But we know it's all for there's somebody out there who's experienced blessings in every lesson you've gone through in your life. So, Leandra, I need you to testify. I need you to talk to that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, and let them know the blessings that came out of every lesson.